right now I'm at a point in my life where all I want to do is spend time with my, as much time as I can with my children and my friends, and I'm not looking to be involved with the media. I haven't drank in 9 years. I haven't missed it. You know, most of my life, I could be stopped and searched whenever they, you know, I'm not a guy who lived a criminal life. You know, I'm a pretty straight shooter. I've always tried to be a good soldier, and I have no problem, none whatsoever, in living with those conditions.
No problem living with those conditions. Like you said, Mags, he's a straight stabber. I don't know about a straight shooter. Yes, just after midnight this morning, O.J. Simpson was discreetly let out of prison. Although it says in the RJ he's en route to Las Vegas and still under custody. I don't know what's the truth. I heard he was let out and maybe picked up by Uber or something. He's definitely still in Nevada. No one seems to know who picked him up or where he went. But like I said, he's in the Reno area, and although he wants to live in Florida, it might be a while before he is allowed to go there. Okay, way too much time spent on a subject I spent a lot of time talking about in the past and have no desire and sincerely hope I don't have to talk about it anymore in the future, brother. I can't stand that subject.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is the anniversary, I guess, would be, what, the 20th anniversary of him being found not guilty by a jury of his peers?
Oh, Mags.
It's coming up this week. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow.
It's right around the corner. Yeah. It's like in the next couple days. It's 2 decades since this happened. It still really, really stinks, and we still have an absolutely brutal murderer once again running around free in our country.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of murderers probably running around free.
Mags, I'm sure there is, but we're talking about a brutal issue.
Look, he. I don't have any doubt in my mind that if I was on that jury, that I would have said he's 100% guilty. You can't ignore the DNA evidence, but there were people who will deny it. Oh, well, the glove didn't fit.
Furman was an idiot, and you know they found dirt on him.
But you know the thing is, it's that he's such a narcissistic schmuck. Even in that parole hearing,
you can hear him smirking.
Yeah, he's the victim.
I'm a straight shooter. You know, I've never really been not a law-abiding citizen. Oh, my God. Anyways, hey, listen. Good morning to you, and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and joining me in studio, you just heard him, as always, Magnum, future Nevada Hall of Fame producer and co-host of the UNLV football pre- and post-game show broadcast.
Only on road games.
When the Rebels are on the road. I had it coming, Mags. I wasn't going to get that wrong again.
You know, I got to make sure we put that in
there. We got it in there, man.
Mike Romalo do a very good job on the home games, and I get the road games.
You're on the road, brother. Hey, listen, we're here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM at 1340 AM, the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're also streaming live on LVSportsNetwork.com. The Twitter handle is Out of Line 1340 AM, and you can find us on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have something on your mind, give us a call. Turn down your radio and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch all the games. Yes, UNLV did what they were supposed to do and beat a bad San Jose State team last night. Both Magnum and I were at the game, and after the game, I talked to one of the nation's leading yards-per-game rushers, 5'9", 170-pound, soaking wet, Lexington Thomas. You'll hear that here shortly. Week four in the NFL. Actually, week four started Thursday night with one of the most vicious hits of the year so far, and the perpetrator was already suspended before another game was played. Not sure about Magnum, but my blazon is filled with a lot of Northern California love today. Emily Van Buskirk would be proud. Fact, this is easy on the ears if you don't like Rick Pitino. If you do, it's going to be a little rough on your ears. And today's Nightcap features an exclusive out-of-line interview with Face. I should say the face of Las Vegas 51's first major league sports franchise, Marc-Andre Fleury. You'll hear that in a little while as well. And if you're hung over or just craving some great food to get ready for some football, at some point we'll be giving away a party for six at Buffalo Wild Wings. So seriously, if you snooze, you really do lose. What's on tap at Bubby's University? You can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major offered is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. Yeah, that means they never close. Bubby never goes to bed. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. Mags, so, you know, we talked throughout the game, but we never really did a post-game assessment. What's your takeaway from what you saw last night at Sam Boyd Stadium?
Well, the first thing I'm going to take away is that Lexington Thomas is really, really, really good. Three straight games with over a 50-yard touchdown run. He's got 10 100-yard games in his career. I think it's now fourth on the all-time list for UNLV. And he's still a relatively young guy. The other thing I notice about him is he is a back who can give it to you both ways. He carried about seven San Jose State defenders into an end zone on one touchdown. He broke the ankles and relatively went untouched on his 55-yard or whatever it was, 56-yard run in the second quarter. He is really, really good. Armani Rogers, he looked fantastic last night against a really bad team. He's a young guy. He's going to be good. But what I pick up about Armani Rogers is he looks like a man when he's playing out there. I mean, he's only 19 years old. He is a big kid. He's got a full body. He's got the beard. I mean, he is a man among children when you watch him out there. And the other thing I really like, and I pick it up, and you know, if you follow this program, you pick it up a lot, but just the passion that Tony Sanchez brings. He is an intense guy, and you could tell that this team, they feed off of that. They are an intense, passionate team. And, you know, I've been around this program a long time. And the things that I pick up from Tony Sanchez that I did not get from Bobby Houck, Mike Sanford, these guys are Las Vegas. Mike Houck or Bobby Houck, Mike Sanford, they were not Las Vegas guys.
John Robinson.
Well, John Robinson, I give him a pass because, you know, he was older. His wife got sick. He took on the athletic director role to help the school out. Just a lot on his plate. I mean, Tony Sanchez is he exuberates what Las Vegas is. There's passion. And I've never seen that type of passion from a UNLV program. And I mean, look, wins and losses, we could look at them and count them and say, look, the bottom line is Tony Sanchez is winning as many games, if not more, than his predecessors, and he's doing it earlier. I mean, look, UNLV's 2-2. They have a realistic shot at going to a bowl game. That's not something we could say every single season.
Well, I'm going to assess the season. We're going to break it down in just a few minutes here because I do want to talk about the remaining games. They've got a real tough one on their schedule next week at home, which I think is going to give us, you know, an accurate assessment of where they're at right now. You talked a lot about Lexington Thomas. As I mentioned, I got a chance to talk to him after the media hoopla last night after the game. And the biggest thing, Mags, and you mentioned it earlier, is, you know, is this guy an every down back? I talked to Lex about that. Is he an every down back? Because it's definitely something that bothers him. And something you'll hear, I asked him this question, but you know, the truth of the matter is when you've got a guy averaging over 130 yards a game, four games into the season, if this kid was 6'2", 200 pounds right now, there would have been 30 different media outlets and a bunch of scouts here watching him play last night. But instead, he's 5'9", 170 pounds, soaking wet, as we said earlier, and nobody's watching this kid play. And I'm telling you right now, he'd make any team in the country. I don't know how much he'd see. There's a lot of big, great backs in this country at different teams. age. But Lexington Thomas is a football player, and it was pretty cool talking to him last night.
So Lexington Thomas, 1-0 right now. That's kind of the way you look at it, right?
Yes, sir. We came in, we flustered the preseason, and we're on the conference. So, yeah, 1-0 is where we look at everything.
You know, I'm upstairs. I'm talking to people in the press box, and I'm saying if Lexington Thomas were 6'1", 200 pounds, there'd be a ton of media here right now watching this guy based on the numbers he's put up. Does that motivate you more, saying, hey, man, I am putting up as good of numbers as anybody in this country? Where is everybody?
Yeah, I just feel like regardless of how big or how small I am, I'm going to eat regardless. I'm going to give my all to the team. This isn't just for me. It's for the team, the community, my family. I just want to win.
How about Ohio State? What did you learn about yourself and this team? I know the first half they battled you up a bit. Second half you got into some space. And like Coach said, you can run with anybody in the country. But how much did that help this team's confidence when you play a team like San Jose State, which is obviously on a completely different level?
Penn Ohio State showed me a lot of stuff that I had to work on. And I made sure this week in practice that I fixed that, and coming to the game, I didn't have the same mistakes. They both were pretty great teams. Both teams, they were all worked together. For San Diego State, they're a great offense, a great defense. They like a real brotherhood. Ohio State the same way.
I say the name Rashad Penny. He's getting all this attention. You know, last year it was Danelle Pumphrey's getting all this. We got a pretty good back here in Las Vegas. Do you mean to show the country that next week when you play against? Everyone's talking about this Rashad Penny guy.
Yeah, I respect Rashad Penny. I think he's one of the best running backs in the country. His play shows off all the hype. I just want to go out there and get the win, regardless if I rush for 1 yard or 200 yards. I just want to go out there and win.
Talk about people saying you're too small between the tackles. You're a speed back. You talked about that a minute ago. But elaborate on that a bit. You're more than just a speed back, right?
Yeah, I'm more. That's how I picture myself. I don't be worrying about what like the people say or the commentators or anything, because they don't really know. They're not out there. They're not in my shoes. I'm going to run in between tackles, outside of tackles, on the side of the tackles, around the tackle. That's how it works.
You've seen a few different quarterbacks. Last year was kind of like a revolving door. This year you got one staple, a guy named Armani Rogers, a pretty imposing figure at 6'5", 225. And like you said, you kind of got a duo threat back there now.
Yeah, Armani's great. Like I said, all the interviews, people ask about me, the sky's the limit with him. We're going to go as far as he takes us, no matter how many yards I run. If Armani have a great game, we're going to win.
If I have to ask you right now, final thing, the character of this UNLV team, if I say, Lexington Thomas, tell me about this UNLV team, describe them to me.
Driven. We all driven. It's a different atmosphere from my freshman year to now being my junior year. It seems like we all on the same page. We all bought in. Coach, he preached every day. We all got to buy in. We don't buy in, we're not gonna win any games. And we all bought in. We gotta keep it pushing. We all just stay hard driven.
Well, there you have it. And Max, pretty impressive. I mean, this kid is out to prove that he is an every down back, that he can play with everyone. And I'll tell you what, next week coming in, we've got an every down back coming to town. One of the best backs in the country has put himself into the Heisman Trophy's talk, but there's a lot of guys he's got to pass up. But still, Rashad Penny's the real deal. But I wonder, you know, 1 year ago, Mags, I was talking about a guy named Danelle Pumphrey that was the real deal at San Diego State. So is it the system, or is it that they've got a scout that really knows how to find great running backs?
Well, considering Danelle Pumphrey's in the NFL, I think it's probably they have a pretty good idea of...
They got a scout that's finding some great running backs.
I mean, and the thing with Rocky Long teams is they've always been able to run the ball really well. You go back to his days at New Mexico, and they had a guy named Dontrell Moore who was just a really fantastic running back. You know, they've always been able to run the ball well at Rocky Long coached schools. But I think the players and the athletes he's recruiting to San Diego State are a lot different and better than the players and athletes he was recruiting to New Mexico. Obviously, Rocky Long is a fantastic coach. The guy has won. Look, he won at New Mexico. So I think that right there tells you how good of a coach he is. I mean, when he took over New Mexico, they were one of the worst programs in the country, and he started taking them to the bowl games while he was there. He played at New Mexico. He coached Brian Urlacher in college.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a good coach, a guy who has a pretty good eye for talent.
No doubt.
And, you know, it's a huge task for the Rebels next week because San Diego State's pretty good. I mean, they've beaten Stanford. They had Stanford
with one of the best running backs in the country team.
They had a tough time last night with Northern Illinois, but let's be honest, the Huskies of Northern Illinois, a pretty good program. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing Rashad Penny against Lex Thomas. I mean, I know coaches will tell you it's about us versus them. It's not one player against another individual player. But this is a game where it's a measuring stick for UNLV, because we will find out next week just how good we can expect this team to be, or how bad we can expect them to be in the Mountain West Conference, because San Jose State is arguably the worst team in the country. They are absolutely atrocious. They were playing a backup quarterback most of the night. They threw for 350 yards or whatever it was. You know, UNLV got bailed out by a couple of really big defensive plays, some you know, turnovers.
Meg, Josh Love.
Yeah.
Not Bryce Love, or not Kevin Love.
Or Dr. Love.
Josh Love threw for 315 yards and a touchdown. He did throw for a couple of picks. They were good picks.
Yeah. I mean, Jaquan Blackwell had a pretty good game for San Jose State, the wide receiver. Ziegler
The bottom line is, Mags, I'm telling you, next week, don't call it a measuring stick, people, because you're going to be gravely disappointed. UNLV will put points up against San Diego State. They will. I could see him scoring three touchdowns against them. Armani Rogers, as we both saw on the sidelines, Chris, he's got to start getting rid of the football, or this guy's going to be lost to this team.
Well, yeah,
he has taken some huge chances, and he's taking some huge hits. But here's the thing. UNLV will put up points. Devontae Boyd has got to hold on to the ball a little better, because he's got mad skills when he does. And Lexington Thomas is going to run. But the problem is, UNLV's defense is still Swiss cheese. We saw it last night. And San Diego State is going to exploit that, brother. They're going to exploit it. Rashad Penny's probably going to rush for 225 yards against this team. We're going to see 550 yards of offense. We're going to see about 45 to 55 points. And UNLV is going to score maybe 21 to 24 points, although they need Pantels back, because we got to be able to kick extra points at least. But here's the deal. Don't judge him by next week, Chris. I don't think that's where we're looking. I think we're looking down the road. I think we'll see an improved team. I think we'll see growth from the Howard game, from even the game we saw yesterday. But we're not going to see a team that's going to come out. Put it this way. Do not expect them to beat San Diego State. It's not going to happen.
Well, I'm not expecting a victory over the Aztecs. What I am expecting is a competitive game out of the players. And you know what? This week in practice, Coach Sanchez and Coach Bayer, they need to challenge the defense. They need to make these guys step up. Because as you mentioned, Josh Love or whoever he is, he's like their second or third quarterback.
Well, that they've used this year. I mean, yeah. You're talking about San Jose State is a team that is searching. And I'm not saying particular one player. They're searching for an identity, a football team. And last night, a quarterback that might not start for Bishop Gorman threw for 300-plus yards against them.
To be fair, he did play at Cal Poly, so he's probably
we're reaching. Let's talk about this.
But you know, it's a kind of game last night defensively from the Rebels where really it was a couple of big mistakes by San Jose State. Otherwise, that's a lot closer than a 41-13 victory.
Yeah, the defense spent way too much on the field.
Well, like Coach Sanchez said in the press conference, they had 50 offensive plays in the first half. They had 13 points. I mean, right, UNLV took a 35-6 lead right before the half. And it took San Jose State about a minute to go right down the field and score a touchdown. You know, those types of things are not things that can happen.
No, not to a winning franchise. You know, we talked about Armani Rogers, and I do think he's getting better every game. I think that we're seeing a growth by this kid. If Armani Rogers stays healthy, this kid is going to be great down the road. Before we go to break, though, I want to tell you, you know, we brought something up. We talked about it, Chris, a little bit. We were wondering in the fourth quarter why Tony Sanchez wasn't getting his first team out of there, why he wasn't getting Armani Rogers off the field, why Lexington Thomas, as you said, Lexington Thomas goes by the season, we abort the season. So why was he doing that? Well, this is what Tony Sanchez had to say. He was asked by the media about why he didn't take Armani Rogers out of the game in the fourth quarter, and here's what he had to say. Oh, you got it?
No, I mean, you watch a game. You know, we were all sitting in the locker room a couple weeks ago, and Texas A&M's up 31 points on UCLA, and we go out for our hour Sunday practice. We come in, UCLA won the game. So, no.
You know, the bottom line is that's a very good politically correct answer, and it's a bailout answer, and I love Tony Sanchez like you do. I really do. I love the way he motivates Mags. I think he's everything you say about him, I agree with. I don't agree with that statement. I think it's a good bailout statement. Put it this way. San Jose State is not UCLA, and Josh Love is definitely not Josh Rosen, okay? So here's the deal. They weren't coming back on UNLV. They don't have the talent to do so. And you lose Armani Rogers, or more specifically, you lose Lexington Thomas. You've already lost Williams. So now you're down to Xavier Campbell if that happens. You got to take your starters out, and you got to give your second team a chance because, Mags, at some point in time, Armani Rogers could go down. Lexington Thomas could go down. Give Xavier Campbell a chance to be a more of a consistent back, and definitely give Kurt Palandak a chance to play a little more quarterback against reasonable opponents. Last week they put him in against Ohio State. Let him play against the San Jose State. Get some confidence because he's got game experience. I'm just saying, to me, it's smarter.
Well, there were people who were calling for Johnny Stanton to come in and play quarterback last night.
I just love seeing Johnny. Yeah, but well, that was because how cool, you know, and I did check it out. I could not find anywhere in Google in the history of sport football, college, collegiate, or pro. Maybe in high school it's been done. But in collegiate or pro, I could not find anywhere where a player has blocked a punt and thrown a touchdown pass in the same game. You know, Tony just wasn't thinking about that because I'll bet if someone would have put a little bug in his ear during the game, he might have thought, you know, that would be kind of cool, especially right at the end of the game where they're down at the one-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, Shapiro would have been happy, and and the UNLV fans would have been happy.
Yeah, well, a C-Win special from UNLV and San Jose State last night.
God almighty.
A little inside joke there. But
48 points in the first half, Magnum, and 6 in the second half. There is not a person out there that thought that was going to happen. And if you say you did, you're freaking lying, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Listen, we got to take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the NFL. We got to give our picks. I got to check my phone and see if Dewey got sent his pick in. If not, I should make him take the Vikings because he was a lucky SOB last week taking the Atlanta Falcons and should have got a loss. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Well, I was just trying to, you know, make a play. You know, it wasn't intentionally. You know, I was just trying to hustle to the ball, you know, and do my job. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, he ended up hurt. You know, I'm sorry about that. And, you know, I'm going to reach out to him. And I'm trying to send him a message because, you know, we play a physical game, but you never wish that on nobody. I don't know. I just didn't think that, you know, he was going to be hurt like that until I saw it from the full beginning, his head go back and mouthpiece. But I was just trying to make a play. Nothing intentionally. You know, I was just trying to do my job, man. I'm not a dirty player, so I don't dirt kids.
Danny Trevathan, Mag, says he's not a dirty player and he doesn't do dirty hits. I'll tell you right now, that was a filthy hit. And I don't think he intentionally tried to hurt Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night when he absolutely knocked him backwards. The mouthpiece went flying in the air. And if you haven't seen that hit yet, Google it. It will send chills up and down your spine. But, Mags, I'll tell you what. Everything was fine until I saw the post-game interview with Trevathan. And I'm watching the way he described Devontae Adams' head popping backwards and his mouthpiece flying out of his mouth. You saw glee. You saw satisfaction. You saw that he enjoyed watching himself do that. Now, playing sports and everything else, I get it. I get the whole thing. But the bottom line is, you nearly paralyzed the guy. If Devontae Adams was paralyzed, was a paraplegic after that hit, would we be saying the same thing right now? Would Danny Trevathan only be suspended for 2 games for that hit if it had ended Adams' career, if it was worse than it was? Mags, that was vicious. That should have been more than a 2-game suspension. And like I said, the main reason it should have been was because of the way he talked about it after the game. You have to watch that. Sit with a therapist and ask him what's going through Trevathan's head while he's talking about this ridiculous hit. I say it's like a 6-game suspension. That could have not only ended a guy's career, it could have ended his life.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all think about when Daryl Stingley was paralyzed. I mean, it was a little before I was, when I was a younger guy. But, you know, to hear Trevathan talking about it, it was almost like, I hit him so hard, knocked his mouthpiece out, and, you know.
I didn't know how vicious of a hit it was until I saw it. It's like, dude, you're relishing. I mean, you are.
Yeah, it's almost like bragging about dunking on a guy on the court. Yeah, I went up and threw down on him, but...
That's okay, unless you threw down on him and your elbow put his nose through his skull and killed him.
Yeah,
it's not okay.
The thing is, the NFL obviously has a policy in regards to this, and it's obviously very, it's not crystal clear in terms of, you know, how long they suspend a guy for, what they do in a situation like this. I mean, look, honestly, I think 2 games is probably enough. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think Danny Trevathan is a thug. I don't think he's a guy who intentionally went out to hurt. But sometimes when you play football, emotion gets to you and you see a clean shot and you go in. And, you know, I mean, there have been guys in the past who've done stuff like that and they've gotten away with it, you know, with relatively slap on the wrist. I think a 2-game suspension is probably about par for the course, you know, to give him some time to...
Well, they didn't suspend him. They didn't call it targeting in the game. And again, I don't think it's not a matter of targeting. It's a matter of helmet-to-helmet contact, and it was a matter of his response afterwards. And again, the 2-game suspension, Mags, you know what? That isn't really going to scare people off from crushing somebody.
I think it will deter guys who may or may not be everyday players, guys who are fringe roster players, because we're talking their livelihood here.
Okay.
Danny Trevathan obviously is not one of those guys. You know, he is a legit NFL player. I mean, he's
a legit NFL player? Yeah. My God, but, in heaven, dude.
You know, I mean,
can that guy lay the lumber or what?
I mean, we're not talking a guy who's a, you know, the 50th guy in a roster, no. But, you know, those guys will think about it because, look, if you're that 50th guy in the roster, you get a 2-game suspension, you probably are out of a job. You know, so I think a lot of times, like I said, it's the emotion, the raw energy. You see a hit, you go in, and you know, you could look. Trevathan said he obviously didn't intend to hurt Adams. He's going to call him. He's going to talk to him. You know, find out how he's doing. He's glad he's okay. You know, so I think the fact that he obviously understands what the magnitude of the situation was. You know, if he was like, oh yeah, whatever. You know. That's a different story. Maybe he didn't have remorse, but he definitely showed that he was aware of
Mags,
the situation.
If he was at a little league football game and he saw his son take a hit like that, he'd probably kill the other guy that hit his son.
Or the father, yeah.
I'm telling you, you know, you can't make light of these things. That was a brutal hit that he should have been like. The thing is we don't have the tape right now, and I wanted to play it for him because if you heard Aaron Rodgers and Martellus Bennett talk about it after the game, they both said he was celebrating after the hit. Aaron Rodgers, you know, they asked Danny Trevathan, hey, what did Aaron Rodgers say to you after? He goes, oh, he was just saying, you know, you didn't see what. He didn't want to see people, you know, him get hurt or anything like that. And I was saying the same thing. Aaron Rodgers is saying, look, man, that was a BS hit. And so did Martellus Bennett. And it was totally different from what Trevathan said happened after the fact. So, you know, like I said, it can't be taken lightly. And I thought 2 games wasn't enough. We got to get into today's games and do our picks and all that stuff. Max, congratulations. You won last week. Dewey, thanks to my unlucky Lions, won last week. And what I realized last week is the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't nearly as good as I thought they were because they went into Chicago and got their ass beat. So I'm 1-2. But this week, some of the compelling games, Mags, one of the games, well, one's going on right now. I wouldn't call it a compelling game. New Orleans at Miami. When I walked in the door, and there they are right now, it is 10-0 New Orleans. So all those people that thought Jay Cutler was going to go to Miami and be the savior when you lost Ryan Tannehill, good luck with that. Jay Cutler's a bum.
He's always been a bum. He's never going to lead a team anywhere into the promised land. The best thing you can hope for with him is at his best is he might get you into the playoffs. You know, this guy has made a great living for a long time being a mediocre quarterback, and here he is now out of retirement. Should have gone into the broadcast booth, but they offered him a lot of money. I guess more money than he would have made there. And what he's doing is he's making the Dolphins a very bad football team. Enough of that. The game, one of the games that's coming on early, Mags, the Carolina Panthers, who are probably the worst 2-1 football team in the NFL, against the New England Patriots. Here you've got a team with no O in the Carolina Panthers and a team with no D in the New England Patriots. It's a 9.5-point spread. Max, can you lay 9.5 points on a team that doesn't have a defense? I don't care where they're playing.
I can.
Can you?
In that particular game, because I think Carolina, I think there's clearly something wrong with Cam Newton. That he has nobody to throw the ball to. His wide receivers stink. Greg Olsen, his best weapon is gone. He can't even hit McCaffrey on dump passes. Something's wrong with him. Something's wrong with the shoulder.
Yeah.
They scored 9 points against the Bills 2 weeks ago. They struggled last week. I think
you
New
don't
England,
think
New
that
England
their defense
home,
is good enough to keep them within 9.5
no,
points?
No.
When because here's the thing.
Tom
I think,
Brady right now is playing. You know what? He stunk week one. He is on another planet these last 2 weeks. I mean, I think he's got 9 touchdown passes. He's thrown for, I think, 400 yards in each game. I think New England's going to – I'm not going to pick it. That's not
I'm not
pick,
either. I'm not
but
either.
But I think New England is going to light them up today.
I'd go on the other side of that. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I love the over at 49 points because I think the Panthers are going to score some points today just because New England's defense is that bad. Another compelling game, Mags, the Rams and the Cowboys – both 2-1. The Rams overachieving. And Chris, let me tell you, the only reason, and people keep talking to me about Jared Goff, and I'm getting really sick of these conversations, because here's the deal. Todd Gurley is running the football. They have a better-than-average offensive line, and they have a pretty damn stingy defense, and Aaron Donald might be the best defensive end in the NFL.
Yes.
Okay, so people need to look at the Rams for what they are. Dallas, I think, will expose them a little bit. They'll be able to score on their defense. Dallas last year had the best offensive line in football. They might not be the best offensive line in the game this year, but they're still well above average. And the Los Angeles Rams, I'm sorry, Mags, I'm not going to buy into this Jared Goff thing. I do not think he is that great of a quarterback. I think he's got a coach that is absolutely going to turn out to be one of the great coaches in the National Football League, and he is understanding how to maximize Goff's abilities. But I don't think this kid's a great quarterback. I think he was a shabby number one pick, and I don't believe in him. I think today the Rams get exposed by the Dallas Cowboys at home.
Well, you know, I think Goff has the potential to be a pretty good quarterback. I think we're seeing that. But I think what it also points to is just how awful of a coach Jeff Fisher is. You know, they bring in this young kid, McVay. He's like 31 years old. He's a kid.
I like him. I like him.
But
he's the Brad Stevens of the NFL.
Yeah, you know what? But the Rams are playing with passion. You know, they were in the game against the Redskins that they ended up losing. Then they've won the last two. I think today you're going against a pretty good team that is competing for a Super Bowl, an NFC title, I should say. It's a big step up from last week for the Rams. I do, however, think that they are on the up. I mean, Todd Gurley's really good.
Here's the thing, Mags, and I saw this last week. You know what I saw last week what the 49ers did and why the Rams were able to exploit them is they were putting 8 men in the box, forcing Goff to throw the ball. Well, he was able to. When you've got 8 men in the box, how many players does that leave outside of the box?
Yeah, not a lot.
3. I mean, come on, Mags. I really think you or I might be able to complete a pass if there's only 3 defensive backs out there.
Well, I think I probably could, yeah.
I mean, so, you know, let's call it what it is. The next game I want to talk about, obviously, the Detroit Lions going to Minnesota. How are the Detroit Lions going to respond with another very unlucky loss? I'm going to say it here. I've said it before. I said it when I was hosting Game On, the Seat show over on 920, the game on Thursday and Friday. Here's the deal. When I first saw it, Mags, everyone was celebrating, jumping around. You know, oh, they won. And I'm like, man, you know it's going to be reviewed. And that was really close. One angle to me did look like his knee was down with the ball on about the half-yard line. However, 8 seconds and everyone is standing right there. Granted, it's fourth down. You can't spike the ball. But Matthew Stafford weighs about 211, 212 pounds. He's going to be able to put the ball over the goal line from the half a yard line with 8 seconds to go. And you know what? Maybe he wouldn't have, but it really sucks that they didn't get the opportunity. Watch next year. That damn 10-second runoff is going to be gone and out of the rule books. Another rule the Detroit Lions get changed after they get screwed by it. But, you know, they go to Minnesota, Mags. I mean, Case Keenum has really looked good the last couple of weeks. You know, he's got starting experience. He started for those Rams for a good portion of the season last year, and he was decent. When you put a good offensive line in front of him, you give him some decent skilled positions, you know, this guy can definitely make some noise. He's got some skilled positions. He's got a hell of a running back up there. Dalvin Cook is going to be the real deal. He's got a good tight end. He's got a really good wide receiver in Diggs. The point is how good's Case Keenum? I don't know. The Vikings are giving 2 points to the Lions at home. I think Detroit goes in there and beats them.
I'm on the other side. I think the Lions are in trouble today. I think Minnesota's defense is going to suffocate the Lions' offense. Two very good cornerbacks. They pretty much shut down Jameis Winston last week, who has some pretty good wide receivers. I like the Vikings. Case Keenum, I think he's making a case to be, no pun intended, case to be the starting quarterback when Sam Bradford is back. Sam Bradford may be relegated to the bench.
You want
to
play my? You can play my promo for Sam Bradford. You know what? You know what I think about Sam Bradford. But no, Mags, I agree with you. Listen, I know we got to go to break here. I just real quickly. Well, somebody in Cincinnati and Cleveland is going to get a win today, or somehow they'll find a way to tie so they both stay winless. But I think the Browns actually will get a running game going. I think Cincinnati got their heart broken in Green Bay when they had that game and Aaron Rodgers came back and beat them. I think that carries over to this week. I think Cleveland finally gets the running game going against Cincinnati, and you'll see some decent things out of them. I think Cromwell will finally run the football. But listen, one of the games that I'm looking forward to seeing too, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, it's a divisional battle. A week ago, I would have said it was going to be the Steelers all day long in this game, even in Baltimore, even with the Ravens defense. But when the Bears beat the Steelers, I changed my opinion. I think the Ravens are going to grab front and center in the AFC Central this week, or the AFC North this week, because I don't think that the Steelers are as good as advertised. How do you go in and lose to Chicago?
I'm on the opposite side as well. What we saw out of Baltimore last week was disgusting. Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's a terrible quarterback, and it's a shame because he's from New Jersey. I'd like to root for him, but they have a running game, a couple guys who can run the ball moderately well. I wouldn't say any of them are good. They're not a good football team on offense. I think Pittsburgh is going to be chomping at the bit. You know, they've heard it all the whole week because Alejandro Villanueva came out, stood for the anthem. You know, what however you want to take that. There was obviously some miscommunications in the Steelers locker room both before and during the game. I think the Steelers are going to come out and they're going to mop the floor with the Ravens this week.
We'll see. Another game, the one I wanted to really talk about too. Two other games, but the Buffalo Bills 2-1. Another 2-1 team that probably isn't as good as their record, and the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, as much as I like the high flying act of the Atlanta Falcons, their upgraded defense, Mags, they could have lost to the Bears, and they should have lost to the Lions. They could very easily be 1-2 right now, and instead they're 3-0, and people are talking about them getting out of the NFC again.
But they did beat the hell out of the Packers.
They did, Chris, but again, they should have lost to the Bears, and they definitely should have gotten beat by the Lions. Are they that good, or are they the recipients of some good fortune? We'll find out, not this week, because I think they'll stomp the Bears. They're laying 8, and I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. And the one other game that's got everyone interested this week, I'm not going to say. I guess the Skins and the Chiefs on Monday night is a game I'm looking forward to, but it's Oakland and Denver. both those teams coming off bad losses. Oakland getting mopped up by the Redskins. And how about the Broncos going to Buffalo and losing to the Bills? This is a game that really scares me. Oakland really looked like crap last week. And I'm thinking that Denver's defense is just going to be too much for Derek Carr. And it's in Denver at Mile High. I think Denver wins this game. And they're favored by 3. And I'll tell you right now, Chris, there's my pick. You can take it right there. Denver laying 3 against the Raiders. Sorry all you Raiders fans. I'm a Raider fan too now, but I just cannot see them beating the Broncos or even coming within 3 points after what I saw last week.
Denver, the victim of a really terrible penalty, may or may not have had an outcome on the game. Von Miller flagged on a 3rd and long for a basically a taunting, which was stupid by the refs. Never should have. I hate that. Never should have thrown the flag. I'm not sure where to go. Raiders, I think they need this one more than the Broncos, because I think the Raiders need to show up for last week's just inept performance. I'm not sure where to go. I think the Broncos probably will win this game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be close.
Well, we'll see, Max. Dewey just texted me. He's on the Broncos, so I guess me and Dewey are both on the same team. We're taking the Broncos. We're laying 3. Give me your pick, and we'll go to break and finish this show up.
I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers getting the points at home, or I think they're on the road, actually, getting the points to the – they are on the road at Arizona. This isn't so much a play in the 49ers. This is a play against the Cardinals. I think Carson Palmer is done.
Yeah, me too. I've
hang it up. He should have hung it up 2 years ago. Arizona cannot score. They cannot move the ball. Larry Fitzgerald may have a good game, but you know what? You're relying on Carson Palmer to get it to him.
All right.
I just think the 49ers, I think they're bad. But I think the Cardinals' offense is just as bad as everything you're going to see with the San Francisco team.
Yeah, 49ers have an okay defense, too. They got a couple of all-pros there that could do decently. So you'll take the 49ers, and you'll take the 7 points at Arizona. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll come out. We got to really fly through brazen fact this and the Golden Knights and nightcap. I don't know how we'll get through it all, Mags, but we'll try.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. 2 happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. I'm there every Monday night, which means I'll be there tomorrow night for the big game. And that game, Washington, should be a good game tomorrow night. I'll be there. Check it out. We're giving away replica jerseys. We're giving away a wing party. And as a matter of fact, if you call in right now, we'll give you a wing party to the station. You know the number, 702-876-1340, and we'll hook you up with a wing party for 6 people. Mags, listen to this. Bryce Love, Stanford, rushed for a school record, 301 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Cardinal beat Arizona State 34-24, but the guy already has over 1,000 yards rushing this season. I got a question for you, Max. Who's Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, maybe it's a system at Stanford. David Shaw's team, obviously very good. They had a pretty good running back before McCaffrey as well. Can't think of his name right now, but guy's having a phenomenal season. I don't know if he'll get the Heisman because they've already lost a game and they're probably going to lose a few more. But
and that kid, Shaquan Barkley from Penn State's pretty out of his mind.
Yeah.
You got Lamar Jackson looking to be the second ever a repeat winner of the Heisman. But you're right. The bottom line is you cannot overlook this kid. 301 yards against Arizona State and over 1,000 yards right now. He right now, if it ended today, I'd have to give it to him. And he's definitely got a ticket to New York. Who's blazing for you, brother?
Well, I'm going to go with the Detroit Trojans. They go into Baton Rouge, and they embarrass and humiliate the LSU Tigers. Homecoming, and Troy certainly was glad they were invited to the party, because not only did they come out of Baton Rouge with a check for about $1 million, but they beat the Tigers of LSU in the process. So I'm going with Troy Trojans all day.
They did a great job, and they're not the only team that got beat really bad yesterday. If you saw the Georgia game as well, Tennessee is really poorly represented right now. Georgia shut them out 41-0, and Tennessee's entire offensive output, Mags, 142 2 yards. I've never been a big Butch Jones fan, and Butch Jones probably not going to be hanging around at Tennessee very long. But I'll tell you what, at Ogeron, at LSU, Mags, you can't lose to Troy at LSU. He's a local guy. He's from Louisiana. He's a nice guy. They got that southern draw, but you know what? He's in his second season. They don't turn things around quick. He won't get a third season. So I like it. Troy's blazing. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day. America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Mags, we need you. Fact this.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, fact this. Okay, check this out. It is a fact. We all know by now that Rick Pitino was fired at the University of Louisville. Okay, we all know that. The reason why, and at least some of the allegations, we know have got to be true, right? We also know that to Rick Pitino ever work again as a college basketball coach? Mags, what do you think? Will he ever work again?
There may be some school desperate enough to hire him. I think, unfortunately, the game of college basketball is very dirty, and winning at all costs is apparently more important than everything else. So, you know, as long as the NCAA doesn't ban him for life or he doesn't go to prison, someone will be desperate enough to maybe hire him.
I like what Urban Meyer has to say, and I don't say that often at Ohio State, but I agree with him wholeheartedly. This is Urban Meyer's thoughts on that.
You know, I always believe if you willful and intentionally violate our law to our rule, or you lie to the NCAA, you can never coach again. And to this day, I still believe that. I'm not talking about the mistakes made, but if you intentionally pay a guy money, or if you intentionally willfully have a second cell phone that you're using illegal phone calls, you're done. You can never, ever coach again. It's no different than a student athlete. If a student athlete lies to the NCAA, they're finished. So you're telling me a 50-year-old man's got more rights than a 18-year-old student athlete? Who comes up with that? You know, if you intentionally lie about committing violations, your career is over. You don't suspend it for 2 games. You're not, you know, some of the silly penalties you have. You can't talk to recruit for a week and a half or something like that. No, you're finished. And that'll clean up some things.
I hope it does clean up some things. That's my opinion, too. That can be my this, fact this.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, I'll definitely disappointed to lose that first one. I'm glad, though, I got to play here, see what it's like. The atmosphere was fun. A lot of people, again, you know, for a preseason game, so looking forward to our season here.
Your name got announced, and it got awful loud in here. It's a preseason game. You got to be used to it in Pittsburgh. Do you see this kind of a crowd in a preseason game?
Yeah, I know. It was, we didn't really know what to expect, and it's awesome. Awesome that so many people show up, you know, turn out to the game, just for, like you said, for preseason, and it makes the game so much more fun.
Talk about the atmosphere here in Las Vegas. You know, a hockey town, Las Vegas, who would have ever thought that, right?
I know. But I think it is, though. Like, it feels like everywhere I've been, people are excited about the team, you know, about having a hockey team here. And we see a lot of T-shirts, a lot of hats, you know, with a logo on around town. So it's pretty cool. Fun to be here.
Marc-Andre Fleury, we'll hear that interview a little bit more in its entirety next week. The Golden Knights play their final preseason game tonight, Mags. This is Out of Line. We're out of time. I want to thank Lexington Thomas for coming on the show. Marc-Andre 30, thanks, Mags, for making it all happen. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. It's Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. See you next week.